From the land of Grand Theatre University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 14th day of February 2013. Happy Valentine's Day. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Lisa Braltz will be along with a love story about food and people. And then we'll hear from TGM's Matt Bennett about the cash grain market. As we close out the afternoon, Peter Levitt will be here to look at the agricultural weather forecast. And I'll remind you to dial in for your tickets, of course, for the all-day Ag Outlook. It's the Beef House. On the fifth day of March, the number to call, 217-333-7300. Now let's get started with this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Checking the numbers in Chicago for a Thursday afternoon. Futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat, the March futures at 731.5, finished 4 cents lower, and these are closes. May contract at 740.25, down 3.25. And the July, the harvest month, at $7.39.5, down 6.25. The hard red in Kansas City, 7.25 cents lower at $7.93.5. March corn futures, 6.94.25, down 1.25. The May at 6.92.5, down 1. And July corn at $6.82.5, 0.75 cents lower. September futures, $5.82.75, down 0.25. December at $5.63.75, down 0.5 cent. March contract of next year, $5.74.25. Down 3/4 for the day. Soybeans for the March at $14.17, down 6. The May at $14.05. That's 8 lower. And July soybeans at $14 even, down 4.75. August $13.62.5, down 7. November beans at $12.64.75. The new crop down 7.75. In January at $12.70.5, down 6.75. Bean meal futures at $4.07.20, 90 cents lower. Bean oil up 4 cents at $51.70. Live cattle futures in the April contract at $129.77.5, up 37.5 cents. June at $125.65, up 75. April feeders, $146.22.5, $1.27.5 higher. The May at $149.27.5, up 160. And the April lean hogs today at $84.32.5, a settlement price down $1.47.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures in the nearby contract at $97.87 a barrel. That's 27 cents higher for the day. The RBOB gasoline at $3.13 even, up 9.4 cents. That's wholesale price of gas. And ethanol at $2.32.09, down 3.8 cents. The difference between the two is now 80 cents. That's 13.2 cents wider. Remember, the greater the difference to the positive side, the more likely it is that ethanol will be used in the marketplace, and that might be a good reason why 4 plants have come back online in the last week. Natural gas at $3.17.2, down 13.4 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.22.5, just about 0.7 cents higher. And the gold futures on the afternoon at $1,634.90 an ounce, down $9.60. The U.S. dollar at 80.45 is up 0.36 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly cloudy skies, a high of 46 degrees, should be breezy, with a west wind at 15 to 21 miles an hour, gusting as high as 29, and then this evening, a 30% chance of snow. That mainly will be after midnight. Cloudy in the area, low of 26 on a northwest wind at 8 to 13 miles an hour, gusting to 17, and then tomorrow, Friday, scattered flurries, mostly cloudy, a high of 32 on a northwest wind at 13 to 16, gusting to 23. Friday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 17. Wind chill values between 4 and 14. Northwest winds at 11 to 14 miles an hour Friday evening, gusting to 20. And then Saturday, partly sunny skies, a high of 25 degrees on a northwest wind at 11 to 15 miles an hour. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up near the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Peter Levitt, agricultural meteorologist.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's Valentine's Day, the 14th day of February, 2013. I am Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us to take a look at the futures market, Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
What you think of the market this week? It's been kind of ugly.
Yeah, it has been. It's been continuation of the decline that we basically had been in for a couple weeks. Corn, you know, started a couple weeks ago. Beans kind of took their nosedive there on Friday. And, you know, anytime you get a market that posts a sharp move either way, you get yourself into margin call problems, and then that usually takes another 2 or 3 days to work itself out. But I think the way the market came back here at the close kind of implies to me that maybe this 8 to 9 day decline that we had off of our peaks could be complete, and the market now is ripe for a period of consolidation. And then once you get into a period of consolidation, then you kind of look around your shoulders to see if there's something that might spark a recovery rally.
Well, one of the things that could spark some more of the recovery rally, I suppose, would be if the ethanol plants truly are coming up online and producing more ethanol than they had in the past couple of weeks.
Well, it will in the basis front. I guess I'm a little worried from what I saw announcements here this week that Barclays is moving out of the ag futures business. And I just wonder if that ain't the beginning of several big commission houses that's been running these big hedge funds from the long side in commodities, if they ain't going to start moving out. And if you remember back when the hedge fund industry first got into this market, it was the buying power of the hedge funds that just absorbed all the commercial selling. We had wide basis levels. Everybody was complaining about basis levels being too wide and the market wasn't working, and had hearings and all this kind of stuff. I'm fearful if the hedge funds, if they do exit the market for one reason or the other, whether they think commodities are too high, whether or not they think we're going into a world recession, whatever the case may be, then what we may get into is it's going to be a cash basis market. The basis is going to be doing the allocation of demand and supply, and we might get ourselves into some historical basis levels. I mean, basis levels this past year have been very, very strong, and if we lose the interest in the futures market, well, then basis will become more of an important factor in allocating the resources that we have for the remainder of the year.
Are you suggesting in this case that basis would be wider to the downside or to the upside?
Upside.
That's what I'm thinking.
More favorable, right? It would be above the futures.
Right, that's what I thought, but I wanted to check.
Yeah, it would be where the cash price would be stronger than futures. Cash prices would be above futures prices, at least on the spot basis.
But that's not all that new. That's the way we've been for the last 18 months.
Yeah, we have, but we could go to the extreme. If hedge funds are starting to move out of the futures market.
Let me ask, and maybe I've got this right. So the long liquidation that would happen because the hedge funds would be moving out of the futures markets would have an impact on the futures, but not necessarily mean the price of grain would have to go down so sharply because they're simply rolling out of positions and nobody is on the other side to take a position.
Yeah, actually, the cash price might, the cash markets would lead to rally. Like I was trying to emphasize, when this thing started 5 to 6 years ago, it was the futures that led the rally, and we had extremely wide basis levels, and everybody thought the market wasn't functioning, and the commercials were robbing the farmers of the basis. You remember that. I think you even got wrapped up into that story a little bit.
Hey, okay.
So I tease everybody. Now, since the shoe's on the other foot, now this market must not be working very good if the basis is above the futures now. Huh?
Oh, well, we'll be okay with the basis.
Okay with that one, huh?
I don't have grain. I do not have grain to sell.
Yeah. Maybe we need to move to Washington where all the hypocrites are. Huh?
that could be the case. So let me ask more about Barclays here. Have they been liquidating in the last 2 weeks? Is this?
I think that's been part of it. Yes.
Okay,
yes. And if that's the only one, fine. But if they're the first of several, then we could get into some troubles.
The troubles meaning that there would be a lot of pressure on the market to go down,
right.
But the cash prices, the basis would reflect a higher bid in the country because the value of the corn would be short.
Right, because our cash supplies are still very, very tight. We are, I guess, slowly but surely showing some signs of rationing, but corn was starting to ration in the ethanol industry, but then all of a sudden the margins got good again, so we started seeing the plants starting to come back again, so we're starting to grind a little more. I don't think you're going to see any demand slowdown in the livestock sector. Now, corn export demand has never been there, but it's getting, there's room there to bring that export number down. But now this is the first time that we started to see some net sales cancellations in soybeans. And, of course, this is what USDA was betting on when they traced out their balance sheet last Friday by not bumping up the export sales any, that all of a sudden you see China sales or purchases to the United States just dry up, if not see some cancellations begin to take hold as they shift all of their new buying to the South American crop. Now, I'm in a little disagreement on that because I think they're still going to be buyers of U.S. grain or soybeans, but they're definitely not going to be as aggressive as they have been because they're going to try to get the cheaper inventories out of Brazil.
Let me ask you to put the markets in perspective one more time, based on the Barclays conversation we have. So would you think that the corn market will float lower over time here, or is it going to be able to hold itself, the cash price, higher at current levels or better, even if future prices begin to sink further?
Well, I'm not sure we can answer that question until we see what that stocks report says at the end of March. I think in the short run here, though, I think the technicals are shaping up to kind of give this market maybe a bounce out of this middle February low that could take us, into the end of the month, maybe take us into early March. And then we'll kind of then see what the fundamentals are at that point in time. But I think short term, technically, the market's at some points that need to kind of be held. And if we can hold them over the next couple days, I think then we would see a rally next week that might be able to kind of hold things together until we get in the first part of March. And then we'll get a little further down the road. We'll see what size of crop South America is, whether it's gotten bigger or smaller in the last 30 days. We'll maybe get a peek at what the spring weather pattern is going to be. It still remains very, very dry in the Plain States, the Western Corn Belt. Now, the Eastern Corn Belt seems to be in pretty good shape. But that, if that doesn't get resolved with a shift in a weather pattern that would bring more rain into the plains than the Western Corn Belt, I think that all of a sudden could become a factor as we get into the month of March.
You mentioned fundamentals. Last thing I'd like to take up very quickly are the fundamentals of demand and destruction, because there's a lot of folks that are talking about permanent destruction in the marketplace. So in the livestock sector, can we take them up separately? Hogs, none, right? Nothing,
well,
nothing
I don't,
destroyed?
I think what we've seen in the livestock sector for demand, I think, is complete.
Happened in beef cattle.
Yeah, unless, you know, we get our sows into major drought conditions or extremely high prices. I think the livestock sector has peeled back enough. I think things are fairly profitable. So I think that one's in a green light.
That happened or is happening still in beef cattle. The poultry industry cut down their weights by a pound on delivereds about 18 months ago, and Smithfield cut back way back on their sows. But that was a long time ago now, too.
Right. And then, of course, the Southeast, you remember, they're big wheat feeders, and they have been importing some South American corn, too, to get by. So I don't see any big liquidation coming at us on livestock. The ethanol plants, you know, they're kind of a turn-on, turn-off. They're more of a factory. If they can't make any money, they turn it off for 30 days or 60 days or whatever it is, and then things begin to get more profitable, then they can turn it back on again. So that's not a permanent destruction because that can be turned back on again. Poultry people can turn it on and turn it off pretty quick.
Yep.
So where we're really getting stung at is the large corn production that we've seen out of South America last year, especially Brazil.
So it's the competition and not the demand.
Right. And see, there's where the corn exports are going to have problems in South America and the Black Sea as those two areas continue to raise overall corn production, and that's going to be a major competing force for U.S. corn exports as we go forward and down the road.
Thank you so much.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Up next, Lisa Braltz is here with this week's edition of In My Backyard. Today, she starts a three-part series that takes a look at love and food.
Romantic partners can come together over a good meal and bond over food. And sometimes I discovered they occasionally decide to work together in food. These folks are not life partners sending each other off to different jobs every morning. They're not business partners intent on just crunching numbers. They're partners in life and business and philosophy and creativity, and they're dedicated and committed to their relationships and to providing others with good things to eat, thank goodness. What might have started off as making googly eyes at each other is now a livelihood. Hunter DeFonso and Debbie Ballou are farmers, but they're just starting out. They have a 7-month-old baby, Caleb, and they're preparing to leave Urbana, Illinois in March for the 38-acre farm they're starting near Palmyra, Wisconsin. Debbie's currently an RN, but plans to be fully involved on the farm and its operations, including growing flowers and working at the markets they'll be selling at. Hunter has been interested in food since childhood. He's worked in kitchens here and there, and he worked on a farm for a year in Colorado while he traveled. Then he had a 3-year stint at Blue Moon Farm in Urbana before deciding to do his own thing. Blue Moon Farm. That place has been responsible for several romances and a few long-term relationships over the years. Maybe it's the organic produce and the good vibes. Hunter and Debbie didn't meet at the farm, but they did meet at Blue Moon's home away from home, Urbana's True Meat, that's M-E-E-T, market, the farmer's market. Here's how it went down.
So anyways, I was just buying some tomatoes, and there was this huge caterpillar on his shirt. And I was like, oh my gosh, look at that caterpillar. And I was like, can I take a picture? And so I pull out my camera, and I start taking pictures. And really, I remember him saying, oh, broccoli is half off. So I was like, oh, well, I guess I'll get some broccoli. And I just went on my merry way and didn't really think too much of it.
All of a sudden, this cute girl's flirting with me, and I don't know what's going on because this is way out of the norm for how cute girls usually interact with me. She'd gone away, and I'd gone about my business, and one of the co-workers at the market stand had teased me for why I hadn't asked for this girl's number. And I didn't have a good answer at the time, but went over to the co-op to buy soda drinks for my coworkers at the end of the market and ran into her there.
Farming's a risky business, especially for a young couple just starting out in tough economic times. But both Hunter and Debbie believe in what they do and that people want the food they produce. And they're right. The U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates that consumers spent about $1 billion at farmers markets in 2011, the last year for which numbers are available.
Well, the risk is daunting and significant, to be sure. But the demand for local and or organic, depending on what your priorities are, just continues to grow across the board. People want healthy food for their families that's provided in a ecologically and morally sound way and is flavorful and nutritious and all that jazz. So the demand rises, we feel like we'll be able to carve out a niche in one of these larger cities and then eventually reel back to selling a little more locally within the community.
Hunter and Debbie are planning an October wedding this year at a state park near where they'll be farming. At first, they thought about having the wedding on the farm, but realized fairly quickly that a wedding away from work might be best.
We were talking about getting married on the farm, but then it occurred to Debbie and me later that I might be looking over my shoulder the whole time, going, oh, we really need to get out and weed Block C over there. Oh, sorry, are we at the I Do part? I got distracted there. Yeah. So maybe somewhere else and have a bonfire dance, what have you, at the farm later on, weather permitting.
For these two and for the other two couples I interviewed as part of this three-part series, food is love and food is family. I wish Hunter and Debbie and Caleb all the best as they leave us and begin their new adventure in Wisconsin. The second couple in this series about food and romantic partnership, Dushan and Carissa Kotish of Kotish Breads, will be featured next month. But what better day to start the series than today? For In My Backyard, this is Lisa Braltz.
Our thanks to Lisa Braltz and to Dave Dickey for their production of In My Backyard. On this Thursday afternoon, let's check the agricultural cash grain markets with TGM's Matt Bennett. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, basis has been kind of hot in some areas. How about in yours?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a little bit of appreciation. Nothing major. I mean, just a lot of it depends upon where which direction our grain is going. And depending on which facility you're at, we've had a little bit more appreciation than others.
And which is the best direction to go at this point?
Well, a lot of that is highly dependent, but some of our southern locations, railing stuff down in the southeast, has actually been a little bit better than some of the others.
Some of our analysts are feeling still kind of friendly to bullish the market. Some of them are not. What's your view?
Well, as far as the cash grain market goes, I still think there could be some basis appreciation as we move forward, and I think that the board could even maybe rally some. But as far as the new crop stuff goes, I think it's going to be a tough row to hoe here in the short term. To me, with potential big plantings in corn and, you know, beans being respective, I still would like to see, you know, some sort of floor put in place for guys. I know that after the market falling 30, 40 cents, you know, it's hard to do, but it might be better than if we have these huge plantings and good weather and corn goes down to 450. It might be better than the feeling you're going to have then.
What are your bids for the day?
Oh, cash corn would be 706, fall 538, cash beans 1430, and fall 1233.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He's with TGM in Windsor, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Back in just 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the ag weather with meteorologist Pete Levitt.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more. Slow cooked over a wood-fired smoker. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana.
It's National Cream-Filled Chocolates Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1779, James Cook died. A British explorer, he charted and named many Pacific islands, including the Sandwich Islands, which later became Hawaii. In 1794, James Davenport of Philadelphia received the first U.S. patent for textile carding and spinning machinery. In 1803, Moses Coates patented an apple parer. In 1833, Gottlieb Kirchhoff died, a German-Russian chemist. He discovered glucose, developed a method for refining vegetable oil, and experimented with brewing and fermentation. By the way, his St. Petersburg factory could produce 2 tons of vegetable oil a day. In 1838, Margaret E. Knight was born, an American inventor. She invented an improved bag machine to make bags with flat bottoms. Her first invention was at age 12, a cut-off safety device that shut down a power loom automatically when a steel-tipped shuttle fell out. In all, Knight received 27 patents, but her creative genius never made her rich. Often she sold the rights to her inventions outright. In 1886, California oranges were first shipped east by rail. In 1903, the U.S. Department of Commerce and Labor was established. And in 2003, Dolly the sheep died. Dolly was the first animal cloned from an adult animal. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. One quick note, we've updated our website. It's out and brand new, so when you go to willag.org, you'll see a different interface. Don't let that surprise you. Let us know what you think of it. We love it. We hope you do, too. It's at willag.org. On the phone line with us now is Peter Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, to take a look at the weather forecast. Hi, Pete. How are you today?
I'm good, Todd.
Here in the Midwest, it's been kind of typical February, sometimes a little warm, warmer, that is, sometimes a lot colder, and looks like the latter will be the case in the next couple of days.
Yeah, it's a matter of fact, it looks like a continuation of what we've seen so far this month. We're going to get colder air coming in tonight, tomorrow, and tomorrow night, and the temperatures will dip down into the teens again pretty generally, with afternoon highs only topping out around freezing or in the upper 20s for Saturday and Sunday. Along with this, we're in an area of unstable air aloft, and there's some cloudiness and some intermittent light snow here and there, but nothing to speak of, and no more than a dusting here and there on as this cold air works in the next 24 to 36 hours. Then Monday, we start warming up again. Temperatures will go back up and back up above normal. We'll be back in the mid-40s again by late Monday afternoon. And Tuesday, we get some showers and it cools off and we finish the week on the cool side. So all in all, a cool week with just a moderation of temperatures on Monday and Tuesday.
What's your forecast for out west where it remains awfully dry?
It remains awfully dry. That's the forecast as well as the description. And we don't see any useful precipitation for the driest areas, which is the western half of the Great Plains, all the way from the Dakotas southward to Texas now. We do have some improvement in the northeastern portions of that region up into the upper Midwest over the last week or so and in the forecast. But we don't have any forecast for any change in this very dry pattern. That's really going to be a problem if we don't get some rain soon. And even with some rain, it's not going to take us back to where we belong.
And harvest weather in South America?
Well, let's see. They've just getting started in some of that areas. The Argentine is dry again. It's been dry for most of the summer, and they're struggling again as we they just finished up the planting in some areas, and they're in the fat spot of the growing season. In Brazil, they had been dry for 3 weeks, and now they had a week of good wet weather, which is going to be beneficial as the crop fills up there, especially in Rio Grande do Sul, which hadn't had much rain, and the balance of the southern states of Brazil.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
That's Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, and wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.